This is the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Discover how to enhance your reputation as an attorney and outmarket your competitors. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.
All right, you're listening to Tracy Murda with Speakeasy Marketing Podcast, and today I have a very special guest, the young, beautiful, successful attorney, Sonia Lacani, of the Law Office of Lacani, the award-winning trademark law firm, Lacani Law, located in Atlanta, Georgia. And welcome, Sonia. I appreciate you coming and spending some time with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And did I see that you also have an office in Los Angeles?
Correct. Yes. We actually just opened our second office earlier this year. And so I actually manage both bi-coastal offices now.
Congratulations. That is a huge, huge feather in your hat.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm actually originally from Southern California. So when it came time to expand, it was sort of a natural choice, to prop up a storefront back home.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to talk to you. You have blown me away by what I've seen on the web and sort of looking into your career. And as I said, I hate to keep harping on it, but the fact that you are such a young, successful female attorney, I wanted to know if you could just tell me a little bit about your upbringing and what were your early career goals when you were a young child, a teenage girl, and maybe later on as you started to venture off to college?
Oh, sure. So I kind of always figured I would end up going to law school. It was actually something my mom pushed me into. So that's kind of a running joke now is that it looks like it was all planned out, but really she just wanted one of her kids to be a lawyer, and I got nominated. So that was kind of how that happened. but I always had an interest in business, and I always liked reading about marketing and the news, and I always was very intellectual. And so I kind of knew that I would end up in a career that was very brainy, so to speak. I would love to read. I loved studying. And I was very academic-minded, but also very business-minded. And I kind of grew up watching my brother, who is a serial entrepreneur, start and launch his different businesses and have a lot of success with it, and really just enjoying the autonomy that he had, in his life as well. And so even though things started on a bit of a formulaic track with going to school, undergrad and then law school, I kind of always knew I would do something a little bit different, and it took some time to figure out what that would be. And of course, it ended up shaking out to be having my own law practice, but that was only after working for years at other firms before I decided to make that leap. And so it was always just something I knew I would do to have my own business. I just never knew it would be a law firm.
So what was that ultimate tipping of the scale for you when it came down to law?
Sure. So, well, I had worked at other law firms, like I said, and I enjoyed the experience that I had at each position, and I feel like they each sort of created a corner of the learning square for me and taught me the things I needed to know to move on to the next stage. But at a point I reached where I started to think about sort of the other ways I wanted to serve my clients and the relationship I wanted to have that expanded beyond, the billable hours and the regimens of a traditional law firm. And I realized that I was very good at connecting with my clients and having a relationship with them and going the extra mile, and I enjoyed that portion. And I started to identify areas where I could add more value and perhaps run a business a little bit more efficiently in terms of, how I spent my time and the things that the activities that I did. And most of all, it was really that I wanted to focus entirely on trademark law. And I've had positions, certainly obviously, where I was a trademark lawyer, but I was also sort of in charge of full client files where I was maybe reviewing a lease or maybe, negotiating another deal or doing something, and I really wanted to specialize in an area where I feel that entrepreneurs really need a lot of guidance, which is naming and brand protection. And that was the biggest reason of all, is that I wanted to just be able to do trademarks. And I realized sometimes, instead of hunting for that perfect job, you just have to create it. And that's kind of what I ended up doing. And so that's what led me to start my own practice after, you know, years of being at other firms.
Ever question going into, you know, a predominantly male field? I mean, in history anyways, I know that's kind of changed you, but did that ever play as a or weigh into your decision?
You know, no, I have to say it didn't, because I don't think I realized it was a male-dominated field until I was already in it. And I maybe for better or for worse, you know, there's a saying that, you know, something about she didn't know she it couldn't be done, so she did it. You know, if you don't know your limitations, you just kind of blow past them. And I didn't realize that's what I was entering. And it wasn't until I graduated and entered the job market where, you know, people started to talk about, oh, you know, you're in a really male-dominated field. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, because in law school, it wasn't apparent to me. Yeah, you know, in law school, it wasn't apparent to me. And in undergrad, you know, I didn't even think about it. And everyone was so encouraging of being a lawyer. And I had really started to read up on other female lawyers and the things they were doing. And, you know, I was a little girl watching Marcia Clark. And, you know, I always knew that I wouldn't be the courtroom type. It's not my personality. But, you know, seeing her, she was one of the earliest people I knew that was a strong female lawyer. So I don't think I realized it. And now that I am in it, it's certainly something I do notice. But I've actually, I've seen it play up as more of a strength, where I think the market is turning into a place where business owners, particularly female ones, you know, want to work with another female entrepreneur. They want to work with another person who understands what they're going through and the decisions they have to make and their challenges. And actually, I have many male clients as well who have sought me out because I'm a female entrepreneur and a female business owner. You know, they want to support that. They want to encourage that. And just like with anything else, like with age, for example, it can play for or against you. And certainly I'm on the younger end of attorneys to have their own law firms. I, you know, I'm aware of that. But again, I think it's been something. It's something that's been encouraged by other people and supported. And I know that a lot of my business comes from people who do it solely, you know, refer me business solely to help my practice. And I'm so grateful for that, because I really don't know how else I would have pulled it off if it wasn't for them sort of having that notion to say, okay, here's someone young. We want to encourage her. We want to stifle her growth. You know, let's send her business, let's send her a matter here, a case there, and help her grow until she gets on her feet. And a lot of people did that. So gender, age, I think those can all be interpreted one way or the other. But for me, they've actually played a strength.
That's awesome. Did you ever, I have to wonder, any business that someone opens, I mean, there is a huge, huge gamble regardless. Especially in law firms, it's a difficult field. What gave you the courage and made you decide to venture out on your own, where you could probably have joined a number of large firms that are already, you know, fully up and running?
That's a really good question. That's something I think about a lot, actually, because, you know, at the time, you know, I didn't really fully let the fear set in, and I think that was probably for the best. And again, it wasn't until a few years later where I'm like, wow, that was really risky. Like, I mean, I knew it was risky at the time, but I've always been the type of personality that's relatively fearless when it comes to business. Personally, you know, I'm afraid of dumb things like cockroaches and thunder and clowns. Who's afraid of clowns? You know?
Everybody.
But from a business standpoint, I've always been sort of that fearless person, like, well, what's the worst that could happen? And I've really internalized that mantra because I'm like, well, really, how bad could it get? Okay, so I don't have income for a certain period of time. Well, there's all kinds of avenues to make money to keep yourself afloat. It's not like, it's not a zero-sum game. You know, it's not like either you make money or you don't. It's like you don't make a ton of money in the beginning, maybe. That's the risk. But, I mean, I knew I was employable as an attorney, and even in related skill sets like consulting and other fields where I could lend my skills to those fields if needed, you know, and pick up some contract work. So it crossed my mind, but I wasn't about to let that be the reason why I didn't do it. I was like, okay, well, so what, you know? And I think part of that is, again, you know, where, you know, I'm with you, where, you know, I like to talk about gender and age to an extent, but not have it be the theme of what I'm doing. But, you know, to just reference that, there is something a bit freeing about being on the younger side where you don't feel like you have a lot to lose. You know, I was single when I started my law firm. I had no kids. I still don't. You know, and so it was just me that I was responsible for. I think that goes a long way, you know, into that fearlessness where, you know, you can have the psychology of being fearless, but also, you know, pragmatically, you know, when it comes to actual practical, a practical evaluation, you really have no reason not to be fearless because the expenses are just not that high. And I was never really an extravagant person, so I wasn't really worried about upkeeping this house or these fancy cars or anything, even though I was working as a lawyer, I had never really bought fully into that lifestyle. Everything I had or was involved in financially was, everything was pretty moderate. I drove a moderate car, lived in a moderate apartment, and I was like, okay, well, I can manage these. I mean, how hard could this be? So I don't know. I think that was a big driving force was, you know, I just figured if it was risky, you know, I would find a way out of it. My friends often tell me that entrepreneurs are the type of people that jump off a cliff and build a parachute on the way down, and that they use that to describe me because I'm just like, well, it's a calculated risk. You figure it out along the way. Like, you kind of have to have, like, one or two things figured out, and then, you stitch the rest as you go. And I think that's the mentality that has served me really well because it's ensured that I don't get caught up in, like, small details. Like, oh, well, where's this? How's this going to go? What about that? What about this? Like, I'm okay with that. I'm very comfortable with uncertainty.
Oh, my goodness. I love your energy and enthusiasm. I do. Yeah. I mean, that is exactly what I hope and wish for every young woman. I'm a mom of a young, you know, toddler girl, and I want everyone to have that attitude. And tell me if I'm, you know, overstepping here, but you mentioned, you know, you don't yet have kids. If that is something that is in, you know, your life plan, not everybody wants that path, but if it is, do you see as a female that that's going to be an extra challenge, or do you see it more, again, as another benefit?
Oh, no, I can't wait to have kids. I've always loved them, and I've always wanted to have them. It's, you know, obviously been, you know, a decision to postpone that until the time is right, but I'm excited about it, and it's sort of inherently, I believe I've created a lifestyle and a business that lends itself to that. Obviously, when you're your own boss, you create your hours, you create your workload, and you schedule. And it's not a matter of having less or more to do. You know, there's arguments both ways. Are you busy or working at a law firm for someone else, but then you're guaranteed the salary versus, okay, maybe you don't have to work as much, or do you? And, you know, also you wear many other hats being a business owner, not just, you know, the lawyer. You know, there's arguments both ways, but the fact remains true that even if the workload doesn't change, you can shift it around. So you're not stuck in this sort of, like, typical 8-to-6 model where you're at a desk, and regardless of if your child is sick or has a thing at school or a PTA issue, you know, like, those things can be moved around. And even in my life now, you know, I'll break to go, you know, get lunch with a friend who's visiting in town, or, you know, to go get my nails done and then come back, you know, as a break or something. I mean, and you're free to break apart your day the way you see fit. And a lot of entrepreneurs will say that we don't mind, you know, sometimes I'll sit back down and start working at like 7 or 8 o'clock. If I don't have plans that night, you know, on a weeknight, I'll just sit on my couch and do some emailing and work on some stuff, but it's because I left for 3 hours to go, you know, to the mall or to go, you know, see somebody or hang out or something. So you're still kind of working the same or more or less, but it's just moved around. And I think that lends itself really nicely to being a mom, where obviously your schedule is so unpredictable. And most of all, you know, you want to be home for those moments as much as you can be. And my work is the type that can be done from anywhere. Luckily, trademarks are federal. And so we're not limited to any one specific state, which is why I was able to open a second office in California. I am in the process of working on getting a license in California. I'm already licensed in Georgia, Maryland, and in D.C., but, you know, the trademarks can be done electronically. They're filed online through the Patent and Trademark Office. So location is not an issue. Being physically in an office is not an issue. So a lot of those things are alleviated, and I, those are some of the things I had in mind when I designed my business, because I knew I wanted to be a mom one day and put full attention to that.
And I love that, because the thing is what everything you've described, when you do become a mom, I'm sure you feel the same. I hate when people say women can't have it all. You can in this day and age.
Right.
You can. You know, like you said, having the mobile office, I mean, I do it every day. And as long as you love what you do, which is what it sounds like you are very passionate about, anything is possible.
Oh, absolutely. I think you just have to decide what are your, you know, what are going to be the pieces of ice in the glass, and then you pour everything else around that, right? Or the rocks in the jar, how, you know, whatever the saying is. But you have to decide kind of what your non-negotiables are. So if that's flexible hours and deciding your own priorities, okay, so then you design things around that, you know. So same thing with, you know, being single, if I want to go on vacation, or if I know I'm going to be out of town, or if I have a friend in town, for, you know, being in Atlanta and LA, and, you know, living and having lived in so many places, I have friends all over and they're always coming in and out of town. You know, I can decide that, listen, you know, if you need this by Monday, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm not going to make a promise that I can't keep. And you have that leeway to say, you know, this is not something I can be a part of. Or, you know, if I know that I want to be in the LA office, you know, more in December because it's cold in Atlanta, you know, I mean, then I may not be able to speak at a certain thing. But those are decisions you make, and it's the same thing when you're a mom, I imagine, is that you prioritize that and say, I would love to be there, I would love to take this on or do that, but, you know, my kid has a play at school, or my kid is getting an award and I want to go see it, or, you know, and that's the kind of parent I want to be. And so I've really tried to design it around that, but, you know, I'm not there yet, so it may be that my little plan crumbles when it comes time. We'll see.
What did you find were, maybe looking back, some mistakes that you might have made early on in your career that you might warn others about now?
I think one of the things that I was challenged with at the beginning of my career was, obviously, job selection, right? I graduated in a very bad economy. You know, the legal market changed for good in 2008, 2009, and it's never been the same. And I graduated in 2010, so it was right on the heels of that. And I had a lot of trouble finding a job, period, let alone one that paid decently well. I mean, I joke often that my first job paid me $32,000 a year. As a barred attorney, I was licensed from a top 20 law school. I mean, and that's where I was 6, 7 years ago. And I wondered, you know, how I would make it out of that. And I sort of accepted the first job that kind of came along. And I don't know if it was a mistake, because I don't know what else I should have done at that time, but it was in a totally different practice area. And so, you know, that's something that I had to decide at that time. Like, do I just want employment as an attorney and to try to get some experience in whatever area? But bringing it back to trademarks, which is what I always had wanted to do, was tough. And so, you know, again, I don't know if I'd characterize it as a mistake, but I was certainly challenged with it, is, you know, just making those key decisions, because your next job is determined by your last job, you know, and so with the experience and your title and all of those things. So that was a tough process to know what to do. But, I mean, in hindsight, you know, I can't say I could have done it differently, because, you know, there were only so many jobs available. And really, I was lucky to have the one I got, even at the meager pay it had.
So what do you think are probably the biggest factors that have made you and your firm successful?
There's a couple of things. I talk very openly about having passion for what you do, and I'm so flattered, and I'm so excited that you can hear it, because that is something. It's an either it's there or it's not type of test. It's not, you can't be a little bit passionate. It's a yes or a no, and so I think you have to bring that to whatever you do. The other big thing is that I am very, very persistent and very determined. I mean, to me, it's not a matter of if I can pull something off, it's how. And so if plan A doesn't work, then plan B, then plan C. And so I think you have to have that no fail, no plan B mentality of like, well, we're just going to make this work. I don't know how, and if this doesn't work, we'll try something else. But I have a relentless work ethic. And I think a lot of people say they're ambitious, a lot of people say they're driven, but you really can't test driven, you know, until you're you know, 6 months into your new law practice, and the last three clients haven't signed the retainer, and you're sitting here trying to figure out, you know, what to do. A lot of people would fold under that, you know, and like, okay, well, this is a slow month, but it's going to be cyclical. It's going to ebb and flow. I certainly would never claim I have it all figured out, and we're only 2 years, you know, our 2 year is coming up, and so I mean, it's very new compared to a lot of law firms out there, but. I think having those two things have gotten me this far and been allowed me to expand and hire staff and grow, especially bicoastally. You know, and I think people see that. Our clients and our referral partners and our colleagues, you know, people that know me personally, trust me to take care of things when they're sent to me because, you know, they know how I am. They know it's not a project. It's not an experiment. It's a commitment. And for me, you know, when you commit to something, you do it even when you don't feel like it. And then that's, again, that's the biggest thing, is just having a commitment to pulling something off, even if it's slow or it doesn't quite work out at the time.
Are there any final words of wisdom that you could share with other attorneys out there, specifically other young women who are starting out or maybe are in another law firm and maybe are considering going out on their own?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to weigh out some different factors and also to kind of set boundaries in whatever stage you're in. So certainly if you're still at a law firm, I think if lifestyle and autonomy are important to you, to try to set some boundaries if possible. And those are tough because, you know, you don't want to tell a partner that is doing your review that, you know, you can't make it because, you know, you can't do this project or something. But, you know, I think drawing some boundaries goes a long way, even if they're internal, and telling yourself, okay, I'm only going to, you know, live in this, you know, this lifestyle, these hours for so many years until this happens or until that, you know, and putting limitations. Because I think when you don't have boundaries or a plan, really, you kind of, that's how you end up sort of like 10, 15 years out, and you're like, wait, well, what happened? Like, I never intended for this to be the outcome, but here I am. And I think if going out on your own is something that you're interested in or entertaining, the best way to understand what's involved in that is to ask other women or other people who are doing it. And so not just people who are solo, but solo in your practice area or in your city, right, to understand what their challenges were, how they navigated around certain things. I learned so much from other people. And I mean, going to coffees and lunches and dinners and breakfasts, and I still do that. I still schedule those, and there are still so many people I meet with regularly and learn from them, and I just absorb their information. And you know, they're mentors. And I think you can never have too many of them, but there's no substitute for hearing it from someone's mouth, right? Because it all sounds great when you look at someone's website or when you see them, you know, speak at something, but you really won't know the full story until you meet with them. And so that's the biggest advice I could give is to get a realistic understanding of what you're headed for. And law students too, you know, if you really want to know what it's like to work in a certain field, ask people who do it. You know, you can't rely on what you're learning in school because it's a limited delivery of the practice area. You know, the best information will come from people who do it every day.
Wow, this is some awesome information. I just want to give you a special thanks to Attorney Sonia Lacani of Lacani Law Firm located in Atlanta, Georgia, and now in Los Angeles. If someone would like to reach out to you and find out more information on what you do, what's the best way to reach you?
The best way is our website, lacanilaw.com. That's LakHan, as in Nancy, Y, law. .com, and that's got information for both of our offices, both office phone numbers, and you can call and make an appointment to talk by phone or email me, and hopefully we can help out. I'm happy to mentor, and I'm happy to provide more information about anything I talked about. You know, I'm happy to do it. So thank you again for having me, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your time and what you do out there for all of us women.
Well, thank you again. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Secrets of Attorney Marketing podcast from Speakeasy Marketing. Call 888-225-8594 or email rj@speakeasymarketinginc.com to enhance your reputation and outmarket your competitors. make sure you subscribe to the podcast and post a review.